originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Sabre wins the Derby for Todd Fletcher.
Basalt will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good afternoon. And once again, welcome to the show Trainers Listen To. This is indeed Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And want to extend a very special welcome to everyone across HRN Nation, including all of you who are tuned in live throughout North America on Sirius 219 XM 201, and all of you listening via our free live streaming or the archived podcast of the show, which I know so many of you do. Really appreciate that. That's available, of course, on our HRN website, horseracingradio.net. And really happy to have you with me for the next hour. You know, I told a story this past week on our Saturday morning Equine Forum show about the fact that I was asked to be part of a judging panel for the Godolphin Industry Awards, which are given to individuals in the sport that are kind of behind the scenes, working on the farms or working as assistant trainers or working in an office to keep the sport going. And I refer to them as the unsung heroes or the backbone of thoroughbred racing, because without them, the sport doesn't function. And it gave me the idea that this show really shouldn't be limited to trainers who are currently working at the racetrack. And over the years, I've had the privilege to visit with assistant trainers and retired trainers. You've heard the stories of trainers who are just getting started with their careers and Hall of Fame trainers. But there's another group of trainers all across the country whose names do not appear on the program. They get up early every day to prepare the equine athletes for the races, and they play a vital role in the success of this sport. I'm talking about those individuals who break yearlings before they begin their racing careers and spend countless hours rehabbing veteran horses who are returning from an injury, trying to get them back to the races. These are the farm trainers in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And tonight, I welcome trainer Sonja Aleksic, who is the first Serbian native ever to appear here on Trainer Talk, which is pretty cool. She is also an invaluable part of the team at Country Life Farm in Fallston, Maryland. Sonja now trains at Country Life's training division, which is Maryland. And my pleasure now to welcome Sonja to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Sonja, happy to have you on board.
Thank you. Happy you invited me.
Yeah, of course. You know, and look, I mean, you experienced a training career where you had the privilege or the you knew the thrill of saddling winning racehorses. You saddled 9 winners in the time that you were training horses. But now you're on the farm. So I guess let's start at the beginning, though. Let's go back to growing up in Serbia and being around horses. And where did it all start for Sonja Aleksic?
So it started in Serbia, the town where I'm born. They don't have a racetrack or horses at all. It was just like working horses in the fields and stuff. So my dad, he's retired now, but he was a colonel in army. So we had to move to the city where he was born. And they had a racetrack there. So luckily, we moved like 5 minutes from the racetrack. So that was my first day. When we moved to the city, all I did is I went straight to the racetrack, because even growing up, even I didn't have racehorses around me. I always loved animals and horses, and I used to visit my grandparents all the time, and he used to borrow this horse from his neighbor to work with, and I was just like loving being around horses in general. So when I heard there is a racetrack, I loved the place right away.
What's the name of the racetrack in Serbia?
It's called Stanovljansko Polje, and it's in the city Kragujevac, where I moved, which is like an hour and a half from the capital, Belgrade.
Okay.
The Capitol has another racetrack there, too.
How old were you at that point?
This is when I'm 10. 10 when we moved there. 10 years old.
Yeah.
I was pretty young. So elementary in Serbia.
Was your dad interested in the racetrack and horse racing at all?
No. Nobody in my family.
So, so wait, you're 10 years old. How did you get to the racetrack without your parents, you know, kind of being into it and taking you?
Just walking. I don't know. I met some friends in school. They said there was a racetrack. And, of course, I said, take me there. So, I don't know. It's different growing up, I guess. You could walk anywhere with your friends, and you were safe to go and visit new places, I guess. And when we talk about racetracks, this is not like fencing. This is like a dirt mile field, like, and with some barns and horses, so it's like a regular farm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to.
Like then. It's a little better now. Yeah,
I was going to ask you to describe the racetrack for our listeners that obviously have never been able to see it or attend racing there in Serbia. What's it like?
So it's going to sound funny. So the inside of the track is dirt, which is like you could fit probably three horses, and then the outside was turf. Later on, they fenced it in so people can really, like, just walk on the racetrack because it's, like, you can see people just, like, taking walks and riding their bikes and things like that around the track. So one time I was riding a horse, and there was a guy riding a bike, and I was just, like, this horse was, like, an old retired horse, but I was learning how to gallop. And I said, excuse me, can I just go by? He's like, excuse me, can you move? I'm riding a bike here. I'm like, okay, racetrack. But
wow.
That's got, it's not I guess as developed as here.
Yeah, so it wasn't, it's not a formal, was there a grandstand or anything?
It used to be like a little, not a grandstand, but like seats that people can sit and watch races, which over the years went bad, but not really a grandstand, no. Just barns and, the racetrack and barns. But then the racetrack itself is connected to this huge, like, wood park that you can go, and there is a huge lake there that you can go and ride through the woods into the lake, and it's, like, really beautiful. So.
Wow. Wow. Did you say that there were the main dirt track that you could fit about three horses on it?
Yep.
That's it?
And we had racing there, and it would be like 1 or 2 days a year, sometimes like 5 days a year. And it was beautiful and gorgeous because everybody that was there was just there for like horses and for racing. There was like no money at all, and just like love and passion for the horses. That's what like brought all the people there. So it was pretty neat, actually. So, it doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I still think it's amazing that there's you as a 10-year-old girl and going to the races with just your friends on your own. I mean, that's really unthinkable, right? Nowadays, you would never think that would ever happen.
Yeah, I have an 8-year-old girl, so now when I think, like in 2 years to center by yourself, I'm like, nope. No way.
Yeah, I was going to ask. What if your daughter comes to you in 2 years and says, Mom, I'm going to walk to the racetrack today. What are you going to tell her?
Well, I guess in Serbia here.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Over there, I guess I have to give her some confidence that she could do it, but would probably like follow her behind to make sure she knows what she's doing.
Do you go back home much anymore?
I do. We go once a year and visit every year now. We used to go twice a year, but we visit. All our family is there, my husband's and mine. His sister only lives here. So we go and visit grandparents, my parents, his parents are there. My sister lives there. None of them are into racing. It's just family time.
Will you still try to go to a racetrack when you're there, or is it more about family time?
It is more about family, but I have such a good memories at the track that I always go and visit. And sometimes I don't have time to go to watch the races, but I know Milan went this year. I wasn't able to, but he went, and he always tries to go to Belgrade or wherever other racetrack they have racing just to see. Because it's not that many people into racing there, and it's like a little family. Everybody knows everybody, and they're all there for love and passion for horses, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, and you mentioned the name Milan Milosevic, who is your husband. He, of course, works with you now at Maryland, too. He's been galloping horses since, I guess, about 1991. Talk about meeting Milan. How did you meet him in Serbia? Did you meet him here?
In Serbia at the same racetrack we met.
Okay.
So when I was 10, I was going there and just riding little ponies. And then I went to high school and kind of got away from it just riding. I don't know. I was a little shy, so I think that took a toll then. So I would go and pet the horses, but I wasn't riding and involved in working there. And then when I was in high school, I went with my other friend, and we wanted to ride, kind of, and that's when I met Milan, and he helped me and him learning how to ride and teaching us other things. And then I think we were friends, like, for a year, and then we started dating. And then he came here, and then I followed the next year. He came here to work with racehorses because he was training there, too. And then I came the next year here at Laurel in Maryland. That was our first racetrack.
Okay. He was training in Serbia?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a jockey there, too, at one point, or was he just a trainer?
He was. He's 6'1", I think, now. He was a jockey.
You should play for the Serbian basketball team.
No. I know. He said everybody wanted to grow tall, and I hated myself for growing. I think, like, in 1 year, he grew, like, 10 inches or something crazy. But he rode, like, 30 races. I wanted to be a jock always, but was too tall. And then he started training some horses. And then he's the one. He always wanted to go outside of Serbia for, like, to train, like, higher-level horses or to go get involved in industry somewhere else where it's on the high level than it was in Serbia. So he was, like, thinking to go to Europe or America, and he ended up here.
All right. So you said there was no money involved in the racing at Serbia, if I heard you correctly. Is that different now, Sonia? Do they actually race for some decent purses or no?
They're okay, but they were less than here. Yes. The money you put in, like, it's way lower than here.
Gotcha.
It is some money, but depends. To get the okay level horses to compete, you have to put more money, I guess, than here. You put more money in, but you don't get as much as a purse.
So here in the United States, it's Secretariat is the name that usually comes to mind when you talk about the greatest racehorse of all time. If you think back to racing in New Zealand and Australia, the name Farlap comes to mind. How about in Serbia? Who's the horse that people talk about when they think about horse racing in Serbia?
I forgot his name. I had, like, some of my favorites. Like Lazica, or I had, what was the other horse? I forgot his name. Chegile, the thing, I think he went to Europe and did some racing there, too, that did pretty well. Can think of others.
Why were those other horses your favorites, though?
Just watching them race, and Lazica was just like, he wasn't even in my training barn or anything. Just for other people, just good-looking, big horse that by heart did everything he could every race. So, I don't know. There was something about him I liked.
Yeah, it's amazing how
they
you can just...
It was really tough to gallop, though.
Those old, consistent horses that you just, they capture your heart. And even, you know, here in the United States, it's the same thing. So what eventually brought you to the States? Was it you kind of coming here with Milan because he wanted to try to train better horses, as you said, or did you want to try to make a name for yourself doing something here too?
The first, it was coming with him because I wasn't really galloping horses there. I was just riding, like, old retired horses. So I wanted to learn how to gallop and get involved more. So he came first, and he always wanted, always his dream to be a trainer. So I kind of followed him, but I wanted to be involved. At the time, I kind of didn't know how much and what exactly. Like, I knew I wanted to gallop, but didn't know if I wanted to train or just gallop or do, like, in my mind, I always wanted to be a vet, so that was always in the back of my mind. So I came with that here, too, just thinking maybe I'll go, because I was in school already there in college. So I was thinking maybe I'll go to school here because the vet school is better here, or things like that. So that was my kind of starting point. So I was just trying to see which way I'm going to go when I get here.
What was it like coming to the United States together? And not, I assume you didn't know very many people. So coming here, trying to get started, what was that experience like?
Good and not good. First, my English was not really good. I was learning English in school, but like learning something in school and coming actually to a country and you have to speak language and understand what they're saying and understand the jokes and stuff. So Milan left me in the car with Eddie Herfeld, which is like an old trainer here at Laurel. And he was talking about coughing this and coughing this. And I'm like, what does coffee have to do with anything? But he was saying like, when you get sick and you cough. And I'm like, oh, my God. It was like freaking me out that I couldn't understand. So it was pretty scary. But like when the time went on, I went to college, which made me like learn language way better. I had to. And then working in a horse world. And people were so nice here, like teaching me language and teaching me more about horses. So it was good experience at the end.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Towson University for a bachelor's in biology, functional biology in animals. Which,
oh, wow.
I went to first year I finished in Serbia, so I transfer 1 year, so I finished 3 years in Towson. About language, my first class was in chemistry, was organic chem, and they were talking about bonding this and this bonds to this, and I didn't know what word bond means at the time, so and I got scholarship because I had such a good grade in Serbia, and I'm like, oh my God, I thought that I have to pass this and I have to have good grades to keep my scholarship, but I don't even know what the word bond means. How am I gonna do this? The first thing, I go home, and I didn't have cell phones then, it was different. And that's a long time ago, but still. First thing I did, went home, looked at the word bond in my dictionary.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember.
And off he went from there.
I remember the story that John Velasquez told me when he first came here and didn't speak English. And he learned English from watching The Little Mermaid. So,
Little Mermaid?
Yeah, so how about you? So how did you learn English?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, in school in Serbia a little bit, but then here, I don't know, just like I was asking people around me to help around horses and horse words, and then in school, just like through the book and dictionary and repeating words and I guess on TV a little bit, but just trying to learn every time I could, like all day long, so.
Yeah, what an experience.
I just like ask people around me to correct me a lot. I'm like, I'm not going to get mad. Just you're helping me this way, please. So, and everybody was so nice.
Yeah, amazing experience. I'm talking with Sonia Alexic, who is the farm trainer at Maryland Farm, a division of Country Life Farm in Maryland. And we'll get to that part of her story here coming up in a minute. But as you just heard, her husband, Milan Milosevic, was a trainer and a riding. He rode horses too. He now works with her at Maryland. They made the trip 7,600 miles from Serbia to Maryland to start a new life, and it's been extremely successful. They have two little girls, 8 and 4, and I'll ask you about those in a minute, Sonia. But how about Milan? When he first came here with you, did he just jump right in and find his rhythm, or did he have some struggles there a little bit too getting started?
He knew how to gallop really good, so he started riding right away and was grooming a little bit. And then because I was trying to learn to ride better, we were like just looking for jobs, so we would break babies on the farm, which that will make you learn how to really ride horses. So, and the more we rode, like, up to like 30 horses a day, just like the more we rode together, the more like the better we got, kind of thing. So I think finding jobs because he knew how to gallop already and he was pretty good. It was easy, and then I kind of went with that, and we galloped together so on the farm so I can learn with him kind of how to gallop. And I don't know, he was really involved before he came here, like on internet and stuff, so he knew about a lot of horses and how kind of things work here. So I think he was okay. Like, he didn't have that rough time getting used to everything. And he loved it. That's, like, what he lives for. So,
yeah.
It was his dream coming true, kind of. So he loved every second of it.
Yeah, and I can relate to your story just a little bit on a very small level, because my wife and I grew up in Massachusetts and moved to Kentucky more than 20 years ago now and really didn't know very many people. We didn't have to worry about the language barrier like you had to. But mm-hmm. was there ever a time at any point during that journey when you first got here and you and Milan were first trying to make a go of it that you looked at each other and said, boy, we just need to go back home. This isn't going to work.
maybe when I got hit in the head.
What?
When a horse hit me in the head, I was thinking, what am I thinking? I had a concussion and stuff, but not really. No, like, I don't know. It felt like it was learning experience the whole time, and I don't know. It was pretty cool the whole time. Even, like, we started living on the racetrack because we didn't have money to, like, rent the place and stuff, and that was an experience, and I don't know, but it was all kind of good because we were learning, started living together, and every day we would, like, learn so much more about horses and training and meet new people and all that. So, I don't know, I thought about my parents and my family, but, like, to go back and work in Serbia or live that life in Serbia, not really.
What did your parents think when you told them that you were packing up and moving to the United States to do this?
They were heartbroken, which I was a little bit. I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I cried. It was a flight from Serbia to Italy, and then from Italy to here, I cried all the way to Italy in the plane because it was first time leaving my parents. And I was in college there, but I still live with my parents. So it was that was the hard part.
What do your parents think of you today, seeing all the success you've been able to have?
They're pretty excited and happy for me. So they knew it was the right thing. It was just like a hard. Sometimes, like, when you go for big things, it's you have to go through hard times too. So that was like kind of the price to pay for that. But we still, nowadays it's different. With the first year when we came, we didn't have like Skype and internet that much, and it was like I would go and like get a little cards and go and call them from the fixed phones somewhere where I find, and now it's different. You can Skype and talk with them any time of the day, and so we're pretty connected and close still.
Will they come here and visit every once in a while?
They do. They still want me to move back, or they want me to work. Why didn't you? What happened? Why did you go to America? Like Italy, England, France? They all have horses. I'm like, I don't know. But she's like, that's like one flight away. This is like really long flight. So they're still pushing for it. But
when you told me the story at the beginning of the show of being 10 years old and going to the racetrack and your parents not really being interested in horses, well, now seeing what their daughter has accomplished and seeing what your chosen profession is now and your husband, Milan, are they more into horses now than back then?
They are, and I think they're trying to be for me too. Are they really interested in that, like, that much? No. But, like, they ask about horses and how your horse run, and they cheer for us and all that things. But, and my mom, I made her ride a horse, and she liked it, so.
Really?
A little more, I guess, but not really. They're retired now, and my mom was a pediatric nurse, and she retired now, and she does her own thing, like, so not that much, but they're, like, on our side, and they're cheering for us all the time.
How many other brothers and sisters do you have?
I have an older sister, and she lives in Belgrade in Serbia. She's a pharmacist there.
Okay, so another one. No interest in horse racing at all?
Nope.
You're the only one.
Well, the good thing, they're all not scared of them. Because that was the start. So now we all can pet them, and they like them. And
we are just a couple of minutes away.
I think they ended up liking what I'm doing, and they see the passion and love, so they're excited, which we... Before it was like, why do you need this? And this is not good. And this, because the sport in Serbia was not like, is not on a high level at all. So I think that was their concern too.
Yeah. Yeah. We are just a couple of minutes away from our commercial break here at the bottom of the hour. But I do have to ask you before we get to that, Sonia, what's more challenging, working with the young horses or working with your 8-year-old and 4-year-old daughter?
Ooh, good question. I'll say pretty much the same. I compare them all the time. You're like kid or you're like a horse, I don't know.
Are there some similarities? Some things that you have to...
Oh, a lot. A lot. They are really like horses are really like children a lot. They have these tantrums, what they like, what they don't like. You have to talk with them, understand them, and have boundaries, same for kids. Like, I was so soft with my kids starting off, but then I compared my training horses and working with horses. I'm like, see, it's same like horses, honey. If you don't put boundaries, they're going to walk all over you because that's their nature. That's what they do. So very similar, I think. Both very challenging. I don't know. My kids are still really young, so everybody says when they're teens, that's when it gets really, really hard.
What if they want to get into...
So maybe I'll know then more.
Yeah, what if they want to get into training racehorses? Would you encourage that?
If they want to do that?
Yeah.
For sure, yes. If that's their love and passion, yes. Am I going to push them into that? No. Riding-wise, I don't know. Because I know it's hard, even if you love it, it's so many ups and downs. So you, like, if I'm sure they're really into it and they love it, I'm going to like go for it and tell them to go for it and push them into it. But if they're not sure, I don't know. I'm just going to make sure they know reality of it, that it's hard. You have many ups and downs, but when, I don't know, the work kind of pays off though. So if they love it, for sure. But it's going to be their path. I always feel like it's my path. Like, my parents didn't stop me for it, and I'm like, I went totally different way than they did. So whatever their path is, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they like horses, so we'll see.
Well said. She is trainer Sonia Aleksic. She is my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton. A whole another half of the program coming up with Sonia. We'll talk about some of the people that helped her along the way, helped her husband Milan when they came here to the United States, and we'll look back on her role at Country Life Farm. Now, that's all ahead. Stay with me. It's Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Kentucky October Yearling Sale at Phasic Tipton. Featuring a catalog of nearly 1,600 yearlings by the nation's top sires. Year after year, this sale produces some of the sport's biggest stars. Since 2018, October grads have won or placed in over 400 stakes. Your last chance to buy yearlings in 2019. Stronger than ever, Kentucky October Yearlings. October 21st through 24th in Lexington, Kentucky. Where will you be?
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The Woodbine fall turf season continues with stakes action every weekend. Join us for live racing every Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. Eastern, Friday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 p.m. On October 12th, Grade 1 turf racing returns as the world comes to Woodbine for the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International and the Grade 1 EP Taller Stakes. For more racing and horse player information, please visit woodbine.com.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
I'm here with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, exactly how do the Flair strips work?
Mike, remember that a horse only breathes through its nose when it's running. About 50% of the resistance to getting the oxygen through the nose and into the lungs is at the nasal passages. They're the narrowest part of the upper airway, and that's where Flair strips work. The strips are proven to help prevent the nasal passages from collapsing, so horses breathe easier and get the oxygen they need more efficiently.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.
This is Trainer Talk on HRRN, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Welcome back to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, visiting with trainer Sonia Alexic here tonight. And if you don't know the name, well, it's because right now she's behind the scenes in a lot of ways. She is the farm trainer for Country Life Farm in Fallston, Maryland, and works at their training division, which is Maryland Farm. And going to continue this visit with Sonia here in just a minute, right after I remind you that if you missed any portion of this show or any of our Trainer Talk shows, all you have to do is head back over to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast available for you to listen to whenever you have some time. It's horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Also, all of our guests who appear on this program received a gift courtesy of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. So we'll make sure we get those out to Sonia so she can start using those on all those young standout horses that she works with there at Country Life in Maryland. Well, Sonia, I really enjoyed the first half of the program and your story coming from Serbia to the United States with your husband, Milan Milosevic, who now works with you at Maryland. Let's go back a little bit here to how you got involved in racing here in the States. I know you were working with Milan, but talk about some of the other people that you had the chance to work with and learn from.
So I was working for Catherine Robinson, Holly Robinson, and Ann Merriman, which they were working as partners, and I was assistant trainer there for probably 11-ish years. So learning to gallop, I started galloping as a salary job for Holly. So I was learning a lot there because they had a huge barn with a lot of horses. So I think that barn and they taught me a lot about galloping and then all other things about horses and training and taking care of the horses and all of that. They worked as partners, so Holly would be at the racetrack. We were at Pimlico then, and Ann Merriman would come some days, and then she would train some horses of her farm, and we would ship back and forth all the time. So I loved that part because coming from Europe and training like in the big fields and tracks, and it was more kind of that kind of training there. So I fit in, I feel like, really good there. And I love the way they were training horses and what they were doing with horses.
Yeah, what's the biggest lesson that you learned from them and the thing that helped you transition the most?
The biggest lesson, I guess just to listen each horse follow them as an individual horse. And listen to the horses when they need break and wait and be, I guess, patient with all of them. And when they're ready, they'll let you know, kind of thing. So just listen to the horses. They were really good horsemen, both of them. Holly Robinson was working for Roger Absol. She was like a longtime assistant for him. And then Anne is coming from, like, a family. Her, of course, man's, her parents were trainers, but they own the farm, so, and her whole family. So her sister and her brothers are trainers, so she's, like, a really good horseman. So I learn a lot about listening and being patient and just, like, looking for the signs and feeling the signs in horses.
Yeah, you know, horses, obviously they can't talk, and you use the term listen to the horses, which, you know, has to be their body language. But how do you know what signs does a trainer look for to tell them that a horse either needs a break or a horse is ready to go and wants to do more? What kind of signs are you looking for, Sonia?
Because they're so different, like, even if you have a quiet horse, and sometimes the quiet horse, when they act up, it's not necessarily that they're feeling good, and maybe something is bugging them because it's, like, out of ordinary for them. So it's, like, so much each individual horse. Or if, like, it's, like, a big thing if they're standing in front of the stall and want to interact with you all the time, or if they're, like, sitting in a corner of the stall with their heads down and don't want to, like, talk with anybody or are not interested in training, or me, myself, riding myself. You can kind of feel the horse underneath of you if he's full of energy or if something is bugging him or if he's dull or how his coat looks or all those little signs. If he's scared, or if he needs more, like if he's not confident, so we have to work with him on that, or all those little signs if he's ready to go or not. Or we can say, oh, he's still green, he still needs to, we have to like repeat some things, and he's still green, which helps me a lot at the farm now. We just have to school him more, because he's not ready to go and race now.
So what year did you start with Maryland and Country Life?
Well, when I started college, I was going there like that year. I started in the fall, so I was going and just like breaking babies there and working with them there. I think they had like 40 horses, and there were like babies breaking and some layoffs and training on the farm then. So it was just like breaking babies and riding there. And then I went to college, and I was galloping in the mornings while going to college in the afternoon. But then on the weekends, I had time to go and maybe Saturday gallop on the farm too. So I was always, and Milan kept riding and breaking babies there the whole time. So I was always connected to the farm kind of from 2006. But then 2017, when I stopped being assistant trainer for Ann Merriman and Holly retired then, that's when I took a trainer's job at the farm.
Okay.
In Maryland.
So when you're working with those young horses, and we talk about this from time to time with different trainers, you talk about breaking babies. Well, many of the trainers that have come on this program have been there and done that, but now they're established trainers at the racetrack, so they don't do that anymore. That's your job before they go to the racetrack. So Tell me about breaking babies. What's that like, and what's the key to doing it the right way?
It's wonderful, and I'm really blessed because I have really good riders. I have Marco and Patrick and Zach and Milan there. They're really, like, good horsemen, so they know what they're doing. And we have really good staff that, like, knows how to deal with young horses and work with young horses. And the farm itself, it's wonderful. We have, like, jogging machine. I have, like, a dirt racetrack, like, 5/8 that I can train them. We have shed row. We have big field with, like, heels behind the barns that I can go and train on the turf and build behind them. So just there are like so many little things we do, and then we have a starting gate to train them from the beginning, from starting them in the stall and then shed rowing and watching them learn every day. I don't know. It's a pretty cool thing. Develop, and then a lot of them I start breezing them a little bit and just getting them ready to go to the big track. And do their work. It's pretty exciting. And we have some nice horses. They're coming up, and they went through there. So, and then after that, seeing them running it's still rewarding, even if I'm not on that side anymore as a trainer, prepping them there. I don't know. It's pretty cool. And they're all like, it's same, like teaching them every day. They're all so different. So some are more forward than others. And I don't know. It's a fun thing. I used to do it myself and ride, and now I'm more on this side, but I still enjoy it as much.
Yeah, when you're working with those young horses, Sonia, they're, you know, as you said, some are more advanced, some are less advanced, but there has to be a point where maybe that's a little bit nerve-wracking too, right? Because they're still going through that huge learning curve, and it's up to you to be the teacher and teach them how to do things the right way. Are there some anxious moments there too?
Oh, yeah. We had one horse, but I'm like, because I'm more on the side, so the guys do more the hard work now. I said I give them credit because it's really the truth. They do the hard work. I just kind of train them fitness-wise, and like if I see little things like, oh, that horse is scared with the other horse next to him, let's work on that and train. But to get to know and teach the horses, the riders do majority of the work there. So we had a few that just like were stubborn, or like, I don't know, recently we had one that Milano were talking, I'm like, I don't know if this horse ever going to be a racehorse because he just like stubborn. And we tried a lot of different things with him, and he would just like gallop, 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 and just like decides to stop. But we get around it, and I don't know, we gave him different things, took him in a field, like changed it around, and he's doing really well, actually, knocking wood now, and he's training on a racetrack and is getting ready to run. So it's rewarding at the end. So I don't know, sometimes you lose hope, but we all learn.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And by the way, we're going to be heading to Maryland Farm this weekend. I'll be hosting our Equine Forum program live from the farm as we get ready to broadcast the Maryland Million on Saturday afternoon, and all that coverage presented by our friends at Country Life Farm. Can't wait to get up there and see the farm too, Sonia. And you're really looking forward to it and getting a chance to meet you in person.
It is beautiful. Yeah,
it sounds gorgeous. And you know, when I host those race broadcasts, quite often when we broadcast a race for the two-year-olds, the young horses, and they'll be coming to the starting gate, and I'll talk about the fact that even for those horses, even though they've been broke and they've been at the races, that starting gate looks like a big metal monster to them, and they're still learning. So how do you get a young horse, when you have them on the farm, how do you get one of those babies or the babies to be used to going into the starting gate and feeling comfortable when they come up to it?
So like, because it's totally different environment. And on the farm, it's way less action than on the racetrack. It's very relaxing. So all we do is try to, like, relax them and walk them through. We have people on the ground to help and the riders. And just, like, we try not to make a big deal out of it. So it's, like, just a thing you walk through. And I think a lot of horses, it's a lot about trust and trusting the rider and people on the ground, so they get to know us and trust us, and when we say this is okay, it's okay, so they walk through with us. So we just do a lot of walking through and then like little things around the gate just to get used to them. And if you have like an insecure horse, you would send him with like really good and secure horse that's done that before, or is like just like we have a pony that's really relaxed, so I can take the pony there and just have a company for a nervous horse there. So that works too. But just like a lot of repetition and just not making a big deal out of it and just putting it as a part of the game that it's okay.
We spent some time in the first half of the show talking about some of your favorite horses in Serbia. Tell me about some of the horses that you've been able to work with there at Maryland that, for whatever reason, you're just always going to remember.
One of the favorites is Bella Aurora, which is, she's like sixth place filly, and we broke her on the farm, and I was riding this summer, so I got a chance to ride her myself, which is like, embedded in my heart right away when you ride it yourself. So she was always like amazing filly. pretty straightforward, really good head on her. Like, just you can tell from the get-go that she was a little special filly. So, like, I always going to have her in my heart and cheer for her. And then, 15 Royals, which is Palace Malice, she just won first time out, and we broke her on the farm and did everything with her there. Won first time out easy, so that was, like, another one. And then they have Monte Cristo that it's going to November sale, actually, and she's the farm horse, too, so I like her, too, a lot. And then I have my little pony there, Perfect Moon. That's Molly DeVoot, so he's pretty cool. You have to love them. He's pretty cool horse to ride and just to be around. And I don't know, we have a lot of, like, Super 99 horses that I'm really excited for, and a little Mozart babies. And we have a few Super 99 on the track. They're training, getting ready to run. That I really like, and I'm excited. Like, we superstar the Let's Play 9, which was the hard horse to break. But, like, after putting all that work and seeing him doing good, I'm excited to see him run. So,
do you have a pretty good idea after the horses leave your training center and your farm and they go to the racetrack? Do you have a pretty good idea which ones are going to turn out to be a really good racehorse?
A lot of them, yes. Just because a lot of them are way more focused, or, like, I have an idea as a young horse is which one would, like, develop faster than others and would be good. Like Bella Aurora, especially, like, I don't know. Like, somehow we all knew from the get-go, we just loved her. And she was so special, you can tell right away. And, like, she came to the track and they fell in love with her here. So, and then she went on and ran good. Just like, I don't know, sometimes you feel and see when horses are, like, focused and that's all they want to do and run and compete. And a lot of them, the special ones, I think pretty much everybody knew right away.
Have you ever had one
be special?
Have you ever had one fool you completely? Where I know you talked about the one horse that was difficult and you weren't sure, but have you had one that you said, boy, I just don't know? I mean, great pedigree, looks the part, and just doesn't seem to get it mentally. Have you had one that you sent to the racetrack and then all of a sudden, bam, they turn out to be really good and you weren't sure if they would?
A few, yeah. And I love when they fool me. That's when you don't have your hopes high and you're like, oh my God, he figured it out. It's amazing. Yeah, a few. And that's okay too, yeah.
You know, you sound like these horses are your children.
Yes. I guess I act like they are my children. But they're pretty much very similar, like, in the way they trust you and you build relationships with them and all that. So they look at you as somebody to trust and lead them through their racing career or their life. So, yes, in a way, yes, I do.
Yeah, it's such a special job, and she does a tremendous job with it. She is Sonia Aleksic, who is our special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton here tonight. Sonia, there's another side to your story, too. It's not just about training the horses. You're also a certified equine massage therapist. Tell me about that part of your job.
Oh, I love that. As I said, I always wanted to be a vet, and then when I didn't go to school, just when I got more involved into that world and seeing from the inside what the vet's job really is, with all the blood and hard work, I thought it wasn't for me. But I always wanted to do, like, a therapy and healing courses, that kind of things for injuries and physical therapy. So I thought the massage would be a perfect thing to do. So I went into school for that and loved every minute of it, and then started working and still doing that as my part-time job beside the farm, and working on some really nice horses, and they enjoy it and they always feel better I'm big training better. So, yep, that's pretty much that. That yeah. part that I just like try to learn more about that every day and help them more in that way.
Yeah, we know a lot of human athletes will benefit from getting massages after they compete. Is it? It's the same thing with horses, where they after they compete, they need to have somebody there to kind of make them feel better in that way.
Yes, and like the build up lactic acid, and they all like they're high level athletes, like people are. They have injuries and they heal from that, and just getting them in the best shape. And I do a lot of horses before they run, after they breathe, before they breathe, like the ones that are on a layup, just to like have a weekly massage helps them heal and get back in their form. So it's very similar to people athletes. Like their same muscles are built the same and they're high level athletes. So
yeah, pretty remarkable. I don't know how you find time to do all of this and raise an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old daughter. Incredible.
I didn't know either.
How do you balance it?
That was my dad always told me about life. Like that's the first thing in life. You have to balance things. And now, like some days I'm like, I'm doing a great job balancing my life. And then some days I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing well. But I don't know. I love a woman. My kids are my life, and then I love horses and doing the therapy I love, and the young horses on the farm. I love working there, so I think that helps a lot with managing, so it doesn't feel like I have to manage to just go like and do what I love and I don't know, make time for everything.
What do the girls think of the horses when you get them out around them?
They love it. The older one, Nigel, was a little scared at the beginning. But they love connecting with horses and the massage part they love and training young horses, and I don't know, they like it a lot.
What will you
they
do?
Like it if, a lot. They like coming to the farm and spending time there too.
Yeah, we talked earlier about your husband Milan and working with him there at Maryland now, and somebody who has trained horses and been a jockey and gallops horses now. When you do get some time away together with the kids, what things do you enjoy doing?
Well, this year was my big plan because growing up in Serbia, so close to Greece, so my big plan was to go away and spend some time, family time in Greece. So that's what we did this year. And that was like so much fun because our parents were there and it was like a nice family time and the kids were swimming and just having a blast. And another family time since Bilan is, he still has horses in training in Pimlico. So he had ran some horses like in Canada. So we were like driving there. It was like 11-hour drive with our kids, which they were sleeping. But then when we got there, we had like 2 days to spend as a family. And my kids like loved that part. It was still like family time because we were doing other things besides horses. And they asked all the time, when are we going back to Canada? And that was like the best because they slept on the way back, of course. I'm like, hopefully not soon. But it was fun when we were there. So we were just like doing fun stuff in Woodbine there. Went to aquarium, just did like the little things in the sea. And that was fun
so
for all of us.
Milan is still...
And all that.
Yeah, Milan is still training horses now.
Yeah, at Pimlico.
He is, okay. All right, uh-huh. So I'll ask you this question because I just asked you how you keep it straight, but he's training horses, he's helping you with the girls, he's working at Maryland with you. How is he keeping it all straight?
I have no idea because sometimes I get some days off and he doesn't. So he just like that, he lives for that. So I think that would be his answer probably.
What makes him
because
such a...
Because that's what he's always wanted to do. And I think he's so grateful that he got to live this life now that he just like, it's not... In that way, it's not hard on him.
Yeah, it's a great answer. What makes him such a good horseman, Sonia?
He never, like, he just has so much passion for it. I don't know. I can't even explain. He's like a little computer. He listens to horses. Like, even with young horses, I'm impressed when you were talking about, like, some bad horses. Like, not bad, but, like, horses, they're not learning like the others. Or, like, you have to find different ways to... too interested in things to do or to different ways to make them do what you want them to do more than what they want to do. So he's like great in that. And I don't know how he always like has passion for it and love that. So that makes him, he listens to the horses and he's like a little computer. He follows everything. Before cell phones, I would be like, yeah, what is the mayor of this? He's like, oh, I work with this horse. He just like remembers things like that that I don't. I forgot a lot, but that, like, I don't know, he's like a little computer and then has passion, and then on top of it, like, I think he has a lot of talent working. He's born with that, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you both have a lot of passion for the sport and for the animals.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you.
Yeah, Sonia Aleksic here, my special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Milan Milosevic, her husband, also training horses, as you just heard, and they really do a great job working together at Maryland, which is the training division of Country Life Farm in Fallston, Maryland. Of course, Maryland located just a short time, drive from Country Life, and can't wait to get up there this weekend and see everybody. Sonia, I'll ask you one other thing. So if there was anything that you could look back on in your whole journey that you've shared with us here tonight, coming from Serbia to the United States, going to college, working so hard alongside Milan to make this life and to be successful, what is the one thing that you would say you are most proud of?
I don't know. I guess most proud of keep going for your passion and when you feel inside, because then you'll never be wrong.
Well, there you go. You followed your passion more than
put hard work in it. Yeah, just follow your passion and go with your gut feeling.
Yeah, you've done it. You've done it from the beginning. So has Milan, and you've done it some 7,600 miles away from home. And I know this is home for you now, and I know it's been a tremendous journey. And I can't thank you enough, Sonia, for sharing your story. Really excited to meet you in person in Milan as well when
Me
I make
too.
It up there this weekend. And look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you so much, and looking forward to meeting you too on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Sonia. Appreciate the visit here tonight. And again, Sonia, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. And man, just so much fun to hear that story. Another unique story. Somebody working behind the scenes in the sport of thoroughbred racing, making a huge difference. You can't do it without the people on the farms. I'll shine the spotlight on more of those trainers, too, as we move along in coming months here on Trainer Talk. My thanks to special guest Sonia Aleksic. My thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Thanks for listening, everybody.